Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this, I don't want to say special, but fancy episode of the podcast. Look at this. Look at our new set.
This is the weirdest dumpster I've ever seen.
We're borrowing a set. That's why it looks so nice. If we did they it
have
ourselves.
Like, they have like sound absorbing panels.
This actually is embarrassing.
The trash
for us.
Does that for us.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to.
Look at those dials now. That's how you decorate a podcast room.
Oh, man.
All those panel meters.
I bet you one of those dials costs more than our entire podcast set.
All right. Today on this special episode of the podcast, we will be giving you Sigma male advice because
that's why Peter's here. What is Sigma male?
I only know meme stuff about it. I actually don't know what a Sigma male is supposed to be.
I thought it was just.
I think it's just some edgy cringe lord stuff. Some kids look it up.
Here's what you do. Number one, you don't eat breakfast because. It's bad for productivity. It takes too much time. You could be on the stock market making money instead of drinking that fancy latte.
Sigma male, like a letter in the mail.
The grind, Sigma male grind set.
Men who identify
like Wolf of Wall
Sigma
Street guy
enjoy their own company.
Does it say anything about breakfast?
It says they don't conform to societal norms. That kind of could be breakfast.
Even breakfast.
Cold showers, though. They save their breakfast time for cold showers.
Honorable, charismatic. That doesn't sound so bad. What's the meme?
I don't know. I've just seen Sigma male memes. It's like it's like some kind of like.
It's the meme. The meme is the people who take it seriously.
Yeah, they take it too seriously.
Is Sigma higher than Alpha? Alpha is a very
top. See, now we're getting
male
to that cringe territory.
Sociosexual hierarchy. While
no, you're
Sigmas
all weird.
Don't
just
have
deal
a fixed
with it.
No, this is the good part. The philosophy.
Dude, this sounds like star signs.
It
alphas
is. It is
more extroverted.
It's like actually star signs
aggressive
for guys. It's astrology. It's like Sigma male, alpha male.
I just lost a lot of respect for alpha males.
Why? Because they're
Sigma
Pisces.
Sigma male fall in love? What is this?
Look up like who is a Sigma male.
How rare is a Sigma male? Okay, Sigma
the
male.
Rarest. What about an Omega male? What's an Omega male?
Sigma male celebrities.
Theta male.
13 famous Sigma males. James
Which one
Dean.
Are you, Kevin?
I don't understand any of this. What a weird article to write.
You know, I don't think anybody actually wrote it. It was probably just ChatGPT.
You know what? Okay, wait, we should introduce our guest.
It's all right.
No, this is how we do it.
What kind of male are you?
I don't know my Greek alphabet well.
I'm first class.
I'm a pi male.
Okay.
I'm 3-day. Overnight.
I'm overnight.
Only ground.
Yeah, overnight grind. It comes later in the
I'm
day.
I'm some sort of hazard. What do they call that when you airmail? And like when I got my helium tanks, I wouldn't airship it.
ORMD or something?
Hazardous material.
Hazardous material? Yeah, I'm a hazardous material male.
Media male, just nice and slow and heavy.
Yeah, flat rate.
We're kind of finding ourselves in a little bit of like a Gru minion situation. You're sort of a evil henchman. That's how you describe yourself.
Yeah, that's what my business card says.
But NHRL is where we're at right now.
Yeah, we're at the robot fighting
we're
league.
We're in Connecticut.
Welcome.
We were told
National
to be in New York, but
Havoc.
Then we actually ended up in Connecticut.
That's how we
robot
get
robot league.
Yeah,
cool, New York.
We trick everyone.
Connecticut.
You get to fly in through New York.
That's true, and then immediately leave.
Yeah. On a lovely train ride through.
Do you know how much our Uber costs?
$160.
$200.
Okay, yeah. That sounds about right.
I've never seen an Uber.
That's like, more expensive than LAX to your place.
Yes.
Wait, how long was the Uber?
And it's closer.
Like an hour?
Really?
Yeah. I remember looking at it and I was like, so Michael and I, we did a red eye. So we left LA at like 11 p.m. We landed here at like 7 a.m. completely toasted, right? Because you should have slept, but then it's airplane sleep and you get like 4 hours. It's like a 5.5 hour flight. And you're sitting at the airport and you're looking at this $200 Uber and you're like, I literally don't have any choice right now. Like, I actually genuinely do not have, like, what am I going to, we're going to figure out how to use the public transit here for the first time to get like, nope. You're going to rent a car?
You know,
like,
no,
nope.
You're going to crash it.
Okay, like, nope.
Not, and then we're not 4 hours of sleep.
Michael paid for it, though. So.
Okay.
Sucker.
Good deal.
You know, if he was on the podcast could have paid for it.
I know. I feel like we probably should pay him back.
We can pay him back if he comes on the next episode.
So you are an evil henchman to a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you put on your LinkedIn?
I haven't updated it since I started working here.
Would you actually put that? Do they call you evil henchman?
Like, yeah, it's on my business card. That's how I get introduced.
So is that, are we just going to refer to you this whole time as the evil henchman? Evil henchman.
Henchman.
I mean, you can call me Sam.
Oh yeah,
but
our guest name is also Sam.
To whatever.
Okay.
Just not a minion. That's below henchman.
I don't know.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
minion's a lower title.
Even like a Gru minion, but minions are kind of the henchmen of Gru.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know the lore.
Are you the tall one? Or are you the one-eyed one?
I'm Kevin.
I don't know any of the
minions. I'm the sexy minion. If I was a minion.
No, that's Kevin. That's me.
Not fair. Say banana.
Banana?
It's wrong.
Banana.
That's right. You got it.
Minion material, though. Yep.
See, this is like actually insane. Like,
yeah.
So the guy that started this NHRL, he was just, it's kind of like a hobby of his, I guess. Like he had a bunch of money, and then he's like, fighting robots are cool, and started it. And then
I don't even think
what I've heard is that, we can cut anything out that we're not supposed to talk about. I heard that he started a very successful company.
Yeah, he lucked out with it, but it was very successful.
I didn't say process. I just said he started a very successful company, made a bunch of money, and then wanted to do things.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do? We've kind of had some weird conversations about this before, about like, what would you do if you had a bunch of money? And I think most of us don't, we kind of have an idea, but like, you don't really know. Like, it's kind of weird to like try to think about what you would do.
And he decided to start more companies, including NHRL.
Yeah.
Including,
but why? Like, I think I was told that like someone that he was friends with who did BattleBots that I know was like, oh, this robot stuff is pretty cool.
He got introduced to the sport.
Yeah.
Saw what it was and thought he could do it better.
Yeah.
Started NHRL.
And then realized that it's hard.
Yeah. And it is hard. It's extremely hard.
Yeah.
It's not lucrative.
Yeah.
But right now it's bigger than it's ever been.
Right.
Like, we're on the grow. The events are getting more and more well attended. We're like, we have to have caps on the amount of robots that come and fight.
No.
So it's working.
Kind of reminds me of OpenSauce.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of parallels.
On paper, we're for profit, but in the spreadsheet, we're non-profit.
Exactly.
But you don't get any of the fancy tax breaks. It's not that kind of non-profit. It's just not profit.
Dude, oh man, I've learned a lot in the past year, and so I kind of I look at stuff like NHRL, which stands for
the National Havoc Robot League.
Okay, it's sort of a long,
yeah, but I mean
it works.
What else would it be?
HRL, BattleBots, anyway. Maybe.
Oh, definitely not. That's its own brand. That's
bot
like
battles.
That's its own thing. Like, so many of the
robot
bot
wars
taken as well.
But is the goal to like kill battle bots or like just do something wildly different than them?
No. Like, okay, we're,
because I'm still a little like confused. Like, coming into this is like NHRL seems just coming out of nowhere, and it's like doing like wildly well on social media, because like I keep seeing a bunch of shorts for like NHRL stuff in my feed, which is kind of funny.
So BattleBots started in like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It grew out of like American Robot Wars, started in San Francisco, and when it was on TV, it popped off. It blew up. It got in front of a bunch of eyes, and then all over the country, all over the world, people wanted to do it. But BattleBots are big.
It was like too exclusive.
They're 200 plus pounds. Back then,
expensive, heavy.
Yeah,
dangerous.
It seems like the bar to entry for that is very high. Like, it's difficult to get into that.
And so the sport of robot combat has been around since then, and like really local at the smaller scale. So like the robots we're doing are 3 pounds, 12 pounds and 30 pounds versus the 250 at BattleBots. And what that does is it means you can build them in your apartment. You can build them in your garage. You can build them with your friends from school. And
they're cheap.
They're so much
cheaper. They can be.
They
can be cheap.
How much money does a fighting robot cost?
Which
ours
one?
Costs
how
big?
All of it. Like, I mean, they're definitely, it's exponential per pound. I mean, ours, well, we didn't. If we actually paid for ours, it probably cost like
400,
maybe $1,000. But Aaron, our chassis, was reusing actual BattleBots, like motor drives. And so, like,
I thought those were like hoverboard wheels.
Those are from a 250-pound BattleBot.
Oh, that's why we totally smashed your bot.
Yeah. Really did.
Like, we were driving with a robot like a quarter of the weight of what that drivetrain was built for.
That's why the wheels are just spinning.
Yeah. Okay. The drivetrain's so indestructible. Power. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was small.
Yeah.
The robots were smaller. That makes it more accessible for folks. So there's like pockets all over the states. There's like a Northeast contingency. They hold competitions at motor shows and in museums. On the West Coast, they're doing so many competitions in parking lots and all sorts of venues, like hobby shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's actually like really smart, because like from me, like I came from like flight tests, which is like that, you know, model airplane thing. Because model airplanes used to be like very inaccessible. It was like very, you had to build out of balsa wood.
It was like old guys only.
It was always just a bunch of old boomer dudes that were just not fun to be around.
They had like wood shops.
Yeah, and I would try to build
airplane boomers are so bad.
Now we have like foam airplanes that you can build, you know, with your kids like at home with just foam and some hot glue. And you can go fly. I mean, funny enough, like
you can make them from stuff at the dollar store.
And you can like crash them into each other and just like rebuild them again. It's like BattleBots in the air.
Yeah.
So it's actually a lot of fun.
The general term is like combat robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the name brands are like BattleBots, Robot Wars, NHRL,
Robotica.
Is that still a thing? Is it an old one?
That's the show was Robotica, but now there's a competition in Texas called Robotica, unrelated to the old show on TLC.
Because when I was a kid, like those were my favorite shows. It was the, like robot, you know, robot fighting,
Junkyard Wars,
yeah, Wars, Monster Garage,
and Jesse James has done it again.
Remember that? Remember the hovercraft DeLorean where he was so mad at them.
I don't remember that one.
They like were supposed to build a hovercraft out of a DeLorean because they would do crazy. Do you remember that show?
I never saw that.
They would do like we're gonna take this Honda Civic and turn it into a trash truck, and they would like. You know, I mean, looking back at it now, it's all kind of shitty.
Yeah.
like shitty, not it's in a way that funny, we would do. Yeah, like, I feel like it's a lot of work to turn a Honda Civic into a trash
And they've got to like churn out those episodes every week.
Some of them were bangers. And then sometimes the guys that came in, either they were like presented too difficult of a prompt, or maybe they just weren't as good as the previous episodes people. Because it was like a different crew every time.
Okay. Oh, it was.
It was sort of like
a
reality thing, kind of.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, it would be so interesting to see those shot for a YouTube audience and how it is.
Yeah, I don't think you can do stuff like that anymore. They need, like, people's attention span. They need, like, a sort of delivery really quickly. And so they'll just go watch something else. But
you remember when you couldn't just fast forward through a show to the part where that you wanted to see?
I know.
So much fluff.
And you had to watch, you know, all the ads.
Fake drama.
Watching
fake
that drama. Stuff nowadays is like almost impossible.
Yeah.
Like trying to watch an old Mythbusters episode from start to end.
You pay like $60 to $100 a month for cable too.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. And you still had to watch it.
Now, commercials and ads. Even costs more money than that. But nowadays, all you got to do is, you know, pay $20 for YouTube
Bay.
Premium. People don't know how good they
YouTube
have it.
Premium.
Yeah, and you just skip through all the crap you don't want to watch.
My entire channel.
Well, did you hear about how like everybody on PlayStation Discovery took all of their all the shows that they bought and like removed it from their own libraries, and they bought the shows.
Really?
Yeah, like old Mythbusters, everything like
that. They're gone?
Gone.
And the crazy thing is, they're not refunding you for those costs that you spent.
What?
Yeah,
because they sell you a license to watch the show. They don't show you.
Yeah,
but they don't sell you like an actual digital copy.
No, that's a crime.
It's kind of like a crime. Honestly, I'm kind of done with Sony. I bought a Steam Deck for like gaming because Sony released that PlayStation handheld thing, which isn't even really a standalone system. It's a streaming remote play device. I'm like, this is dumb.
Oh, okay.
So I just bought a Steam Deck and it was awesome. So off topic, but yeah.
So I when I was a kid, those were like my favorite shows to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I ended up like way deeper, like once I, you know, kind of grew up and like late teenager and young adult, I like became way like deeply embedded in actual BattleBots.
Yeah.
And so sort of seeing a show as a kid and then being involved with the people that make the show and then being a part of the show was like a weird experience because you start to sort of like, you you learn just, a lot about it.
It just happened like on accident too, right?
Totally on accident.
Like you got a job and then like turns out all the guys there
got a job there.
At
half
Battle
the
Box.
People that worked there had been on the original show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when the show got rebooted, they needed, you know, they were like pulling people to help with some of the stuff, you know, internally. And I did it. Yeah.
Where was that? Where were you?
It was called Applied Minds.
And what team?
There were Yasha Little, the judge.
Dude, the judge is my favorite robot.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
It literally was sitting under his desk.
Oh, with the Kevlar armor version?
Yeah, I think. I can't remember exactly. I think
he had a few different versions, but.
And there's Pete Abrahamson.
Okay.
He had Ronan.
Yeah.
Then Luke Conlan. Then there was, oh my God, I can't remember half these names. What's the?
Did you know the guy that did Blip? The one with the flywheel that would jam into the.
That's Aaron.
Okay.
That's who built our chassis.
oh, is it? That was that guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Cool, Christian Carlsberg.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He did. Well, I can't remember his name.
Like, Minotaur.
He had like a knife on it, and it would like,
overkill.
Flip, overkill.
Yeah.
I think. Who
Toe
else?
Pressure, maybe. I mean, those are the big names.
Yeah, like those. I think that's what I can remember right now. And then Erica's is like, I've seen so many of these robots, I can't keep track of it all. And then, one of my like in the new seasons, and Chomp was built basically at my job.
Yeah. Like the Crusher Chomp.
Yeah, Crusher Chomp. All of them. Yeah.
And the Hammer Chomp.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing Chomp at Open Sauce was a delight.
Walking Chomp.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's cool, right?
So cool and so complicated and so expensive.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Amazing.
How does Chomp work?
Which one?
The one that you're talking
about.
It's a
pneumatic
walker.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's the walker one.
Yeah, it looks like a big
hex
bug, like a big spider.
That's
robot,
that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it uses these super fancy pneumatic valves that like they can variably control the pressure inside. So it's like a control loop. And so instead of just like on and off, they can like control.
Oh, like how much it can cut. It moves,
so you can like actuate them,
it's
more
not just
like a
dun,
motor.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like it's still pretty choppy, but it's like it's a much more controllable method of doing it.
Cool.
But it's, you know, like seeing the behind the scenes and like, you know, what the builders go through and then learning kind of like some of the politics and how the TV show, like, cause it's like, you know, it's, I mean, you guys know this. It's like when you're making a TV show about a competition.
Yeah.
It's sort of like TV show first, competition second.
Yeah.
And then that kind of causes, you know, some politics and problems.
It certainly does. And there's like a balance that you have to strike.
Are you moving the camera?
Cause...
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably Austin checking in.
I have a question for you guys.
Your boss is spying on you?
No,
you thought you were being sneaky?
Are you spying on us?
No.
It's shaking. No. No, I'm just checking outside. I'm just seeing what the weather's like.
That's so funny.
Oh, the light turned on.
No, it's over there.
Oh, that one's on.
There's a ghost in the machine.
Yeah, we got PTZs just hanging
those
out.
Those are cool.
You know?
Are those the same ones that you use? No, not down there. Not for the filming.
You guys should put
track.
Like a Nerf gun.
Those are
things,
Sony's.
And, like remotely hack, like tune into your turrets and then just shoot people randomly.
Yes.
Yeah, you hear that? Put some Nerf guns on
there.
Yeah,
Nerf guns on those things. That's the next project.
Squirt guns. It's full of gasoline.
Oh, yeah, they have those ones that shoot the squirts and bursts, like the laminar flow squirt guns. Yeah.
Yeah, we have those.
I saw those downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah,
ones,
yeah, no, yeah.
The meme from the video?
Yeah.
Like the online viral marketing?
Like a dozen or so.
Yeah, Michael and I were playing
with
them.
I really want to see one of those
things. I'm going to play with one.
Yeah.
I'm going to play with one. Yeah.
The one that you put it in like a bucket of water and it sucks the water up.
Yeah.
It's got an ammo count on it.
Man, I need those on my boat. When that thing's launched, I want to have like water battles on my boat.
You could just get like a whole fire water cannon.
Oh yeah, a water monitor kind of cannon.
Yeah, that thing. Wait, but I had a BattleBots question for you guys. If you had to be trapped in a room with a BattleBot, what would be your least favorite BattleBot to be trapped in a room
Tombstone.
With? Tombstone.
Yeah. Any of the spinners, because
like the side, the horizontal spinners.
Anything that like sticks out from the side, because you can't really do anything, and they can pivot so quickly.
So you can't just jump over it if it's coming at you.
Yeah, you could jump over Tombstone, and he would whip around in half a second.
Oh, just like throw you off of
and
it,
and your legs would freaking explode off.
Wait,
of the
wall. You're picking Tombstone for the easy death, right?
Tombstone.
No, no, that would be like the worst one to be trapped in a room.
Oh,
with.
Worst yeah. one. Oh, the worst yeah. one. Okay, I thought you said the best one to be trapped in the room.
Oh.
I don't know, there's one called Ginsu, which is like saw blade wheels.
Mm-hmm. Saw blade wheels.
Saws in the front, saws in the back. It's just all saws.
I think Trey built that, right?
I think so. Yeah. That could be terrifying.
That's an old one.
That's really like old.
OG.
I don't know. Any of those, yeah, Tombstone, definitely the top, but like any of those drum spinners would be a bad one because even if you can like hang onto the side of the arena, if those things like jam themselves against the wall and flip up in the air, you got those flying.
Well, you saw the flipper one like, no, last night. It could
terrible.
Flip up to the top of the, yeah. You know, like throw
so
something
violent.
Up to the top of the.
So there was one
to the
incident.
Roof. Or if it flipped over, it could like flip itself up to the top.
There was like, so I basically what I did at Battle Boss was like safety inspection.
Cool.
Which is, I still feel like, you know, it's like you're just a guy
a hall monitor.
Jiffy Lube doing oil changes.
With the orange
yeah.
strap.
Yeah. No, yeah, the robot police. Yeah. Yeah. People sort of hated.
You had a clipboard,
yeah.
I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And the job was to basically, like, you know, look at what they did, kind of go through the rule set and just like, you know, you're like, you look at it and you're like, does this look really bad?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're just like because everyone's like sleep deprived.
Oh, absolutely. There's deadlines.
Yeah. And back in the day, like when you know crystal radios were the norm. Like you know when you go to an airfield, RC airfield back in the day, they
you
have your little
pin.
Flags. So you have to put your flag or some sort of marker on your frequency because guess what happens when two people go out with the same frequency?
Somebody will use the same crystal as you.
Now imagine you're 250 pound robots. With spinning weapons.
And you have your wires
and you're
crossed.
Testing it in the pits and someone else is using a different frequency.
Oh, like on the other side of the building. Mm-hmm.
And that has
something.
Happened
yeah.
in the past.
Has that happened during like competitions, like sabotage that way?
No, not sabotage. Mm-hmm. I think competitors generally are, they're not there to win. I think the sport is more important mm-hmm. to them than winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to sure. purposely do anything bad. It's a very, it's, I honestly think
because that happens, has happened at airfields, like in the old
sabotage,
days.
Sabotage, yeah.
Yeah, like shooting people's planes down. Like,
oh, really?
Like, you'll have some angry Karen, like, living near the airfield and hates the airplane
ooh.
Noises and literally starts popping in crystals left and right to shoot down.
That's
like,
pretty funny.
a little bit harder to do nowadays.
There's been incidents, I think, like, way back in the day where, you know, they were testing their drivetrain on the bench or they were doing something and then someone else was controlling something and it, like, someone else's robot drove off the bench. And so the you know there's rules about like the wheels have to be propped up, like you know make sure that your wheels are blocked up, make sure this or that, and you know it's like it's all sort of common sense stuff, and most of it you know because people would always fight you, like I you know got in a fight with Ray Billings of Tombstone because you're supposed to have your you know your positive weapon lock, and so you want to have like a pin going from your frame through your spinning weapon,
so it can't start,
so it can't start, so it's like the motor turns on, but the motor's not strong enough to shear the pin that you've got in there. You know, and he had a pin on one side, so there was no hole in the blade or anything,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, you don't want a hole in your tool steel mm-hmm. blade. And the issue was that if the blade was flipped 180 degrees the other way, it had a
so,
whole
so it could do like one whole rotation.
It could do like
before
a half rotation.
Yeah.
Or maybe a full rotation. I don't know. It actually yeah. may
enough
have been like a full rotation. And I asked him like, dude, would you stick your hand like next to the to the pin that's supposed to be locking it and then turn the weapon on and hold it there? And let it do that full wind up. And he was like, no. And then I'm like, just put a bungee cord on it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
just strap
I was
it.
Literally,
to the pin.
A ratchet strap would fix
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And it's like, does it matter? Mm-hmm. Probably not. But then, you know, there was one incident that I saw. And then all of a sudden, I just became, it was like, I just didn't care at that point. Mm-hmm. In one of the testing boxes, you know, these are like the, I think they're like 15 or 12 by 12 by 12 or something mm-hmm. like that. They're like the size, I think, of kind of like the big arena for you guys.
And okay. Yeah. 16 by 16.
Yeah. Something. They throw, you know, the 250 pound, which they're massive. Like you don't know it unless you see it, but BattleBots are massive.
How big is your, the red one?
250 pounds.
God, that thing is heavy.
Yeah. And it's like impossible to pick
yeah,
up.
And
it
like articulates
yeah,
in every direction.
It like sags
yeah.
and flops.
Flops around uh-huh. when you try to lift it.
Yeah. yeah.
And it was a full body spinner, which means the whole shell spins. The top was static, you know, the bottom is static, but there's like a ring around the outside
Cronus?
That spins. No, it was called
Ringmaster.
Something saw, like buzzsaw or something. It looked like a big, like circular saw blade. Okay. And they had their positive weapon lock, their pin that's supposed to be through the chassis and stop from spinning. So there it's in the box and the guy goes in there with his, you know, key to power it on. So he like loosens, you know, the Allen wrench, which then, you know, connects the batteries physically.
Yeah.
So it's like a hard disconnect.
Oh yeah. They have
to have
that.
And it's the weapon and drivetrain are separate. So you turn your drivetrain on first. So, you know, you back off, it connects, you pull the key out, the drivetrain's on, you know, and the remote is supposed to be sitting outside. Nobody's touching it. Cause like even just one of these robots driving into you will break your leg.
Absolutely.
They made us do that here. You know, like we had to put all of our controllers on the cart.
Battlebot, like the 250 pound robots are like way scarier. It's like a ride on lawnmower, basically. Like even if it drove into you, like it would go over you, it would break bones. It's like you don't want to get hit.
They're so dense.
Sharp.
Yeah. Even no weapon at all, it'll still mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
So then he turns the, takes his Allen key out, puts it in the weapon key and starts undoing that. And as it makes contact, the weapon starts like the whole body starts. And then the positive retaining pin lifts out.
Oh, because it was hitting the pin and vibrating.
I have
vibrating.
No idea how the pin was installed. Because this is the problem. It's like, safety inspections. Like, you have a pin.
Yeah.
You just assume they did it. Because you can't reverse engineer everything that they've done. You just kind of have to assume some level of competence. The pin lifts out and it starts spinning. And he's standing right next to it. The drivetrain is powered on. And now the weapon is on and spinning. And it's like, what other part of this robot's going to start moving around?
Uh-huh.
And then he couldn't get past it. Because he was on the back, he was away from the doors. So he was on the back wall and the doors, they kind of open in. And so he couldn't get around it because it was in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's a whole guardrail around the bottom. And I was screaming at him, like, get on the guardrail. Like, get
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Get up.
Wait, how big is the box?
He's just sitting there. Huh?
How big is the box?
Like 16 by 16.
Oh.
And then the door is like maybe 8 feet.
Was there
wide.
Like something he could grab onto on the ceiling? Or no. it was uh-oh.
No, but it was like get up on the guardrail.
Yeah.
The guardrail is sort of like the barrier just to keep the robots from hitting the Lexan, the bulletproof glass, because it's like they're like an inch and a quarter thick, really expensive panels.
Uh-huh.
I think you almost made a human smoothie.
So the robot never moved. Mm-hmm. So the drivetrain was, you know, it was functional. But like, you know, when you see one thing go wrong, you just assume everything's gonna go wrong. And so it's like just get out of the plane. Like, just get out of the plane. Because if the robot comes, if the drivetrain starts, you know, going haywire and runs into you, you know, at least you'll be up and it'll hit the metal, like, you know, U-channel.
That's scary.
I didn't have any chill after that. Anytime people would fight back, I just, like, I don't give a shit. I've seen things.
Could you imagine if our hot dog rotisserie turned on when they were... When...
that's the problem, though. Is the, you have
we
stuff
did
that's...
run into the cameraman at one point when we were building it. We gave him fair warning. I'm like, let's hit the cameraman with it. And then we gently caressed his leg with some hot dogs.
And wiener
that's
juice.
A slippery slope, though, because when you start having exceptions... And you don't stick to the rules really hard, which is why I know why you guys have the rules. Then you start ending up in situations where you're like, oh, it's probably maybe fine, or those guys did it, or this or that. And then you're just like, oh no.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it was locked down at BattleBots. Like it was strict. Like you still fight people.
You can't have anyone die.
No, you can't. No.
It would end it for everyone.
Oh yeah.
Like insurance would be through the roof. And it's already
that was a
super
huge
high
thing. Yeah,
it's like if somebody died in one of my videos, that would not be good.
It's bad.
And so that's why as like combat robots are popping up all over the world, and like the arena technology is not necessarily up to snuff everywhere. Some chain link fence with no ceiling.
India combat robot league.
So there's been some incidents elsewhere, but for the most part in the States, it's been it's been so far so good.
Yeah,
the safety protocols have worked,
and you guys are dealing with much smaller robots too, so it's a much less
smaller
scary,
robots, but a ton of people.
Yeah,
and we do it all in one day. So like BattleBots happens over the course of two weeks.
Yeah.
We are one day with over 200 robots.
It's insane. Like
it's a whole lot, and so that's why we have 8 different cages, and we're just we churn.
So you know the premise of NHRL was to, you know, do it better. Was like doing it better in terms of like just competition wise, or making it more accessible, or
all the above to make it more entertaining. So so the rules at NHRL were different from what they've traditionally been for the past 20 plus years. We've got rules in place to encourage spectacles.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
A ton of these smaller robot competitions, no flamethrowers. They're not set up for that. They're happening.
It's a whole liability.
Middle schools and stuff. Yeah. But we we are set up for it. So,
oh yeah,
we've got flamethrowers. Mm-hmm. We let people run liquid nitrogen. Mm-hmm. We've got can of beans in our robots, like,
and the hot dogs.
We've got hot dogs,
which 4 pounds of all American beef and pork. And horse.
I don't think BattleBots would let anybody do hot dogs.
Yeah, no. And that makes sense. You guys saw
the fucking mess. Did you see the house spot afterwards?
Yeah, the tires and like the perfect lines.
It somehow it like sucked up a couple like full hot dogs too in the wheels.
I know. I really do like the smaller weight limits because it encourages more creativity. As far as, definitely. It's a lot because it's so hard to invest that kind of money into like this big BattleBots because those guys, like, it seems like people do kind of want to win, I guess. But at that size, you have to like
this scope creep. Yeah. And it makes it kind of a nightmare.
It's like, oh no, another horizontal spinner, another vertical spinner.
When I see the big BattleBots, I'm like, wow, that would be, you know, fun to make. But then I see the smaller ones and I'm like, oh, I could make that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it doesn't matter when it gets obliterated.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because you spent like a couple hundred bucks on it and you just do something different next time.
Mm-hmm. Couple hundred-ish.
I think you could totally build a robot here for less than $100. You probably wouldn't win.
But you'd have a good time.
Yeah.
And your robot would be dead.
And you would learn a lot.
Yeah.
You would spend more money on the next one probably. Right.
Yeah. I think... is there, because this thing, you guys don't do it. I feel like there's some sort of negativity towards this term, but ass bots.
Yeah.
You guys call it ass bots officially?
I mean, not exactly, but I know to what you're referring.
Oh, are you talking about Tommy's bot with a butt on the bottom?
No.
With a butt on the back of it?
No, that's bots with asses.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ass bots are just like the opposite of a tryhard robot, something that you do.
That you put hot dogs on.
You build it pretty fast.
Yeah.
You use what's around. You're not ordering for McMaster, probably.
Right. It would be fun to create some other smaller divisions. Like, here's the one day division where you literally put two teams in a room and you have to build your robot in one day.
There are some.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the egg drop challenge, but like with the, you know, a different style.
Like Junkyard Wars or something. Yeah. You have to scrap all the old bots. Yeah. And
there's a fine line between. Like a good robot and an entertaining robot. And I think that's the trickiest part. Like what I've seen from my involvement with all the combat robotic stuff is it's a very difficult, if not impossible, problem to solve. Cause what the audience really likes, you know what they like.
Dude, it's like the YouTube video problem.
They like the explosions. They like the robots getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And they like the twerking robots.
Whose robot got destroyed. What do they like? The robot to not get destroyed. And so you end up in a situation where people try to make sure the robot doesn't get destroyed, and you end up with a block of steel with wheels, which is the wedge problem that BattleBots had, which I think is what killed the show the first, you
like
know,
the,
run
the whole
of the show.
The meta just became
wedges. And then, you know, now you just end up with, you know, a bumper car BattleBot. Like,
you know, quarter or like half inch thick AR 500 plate.
And then like, it's like, you're like, the robot's indestructible because it doesn't actually do anything other than, you know, bump into other people.
Yeah.
And that's why BattleBots is so curated with the robots that they allow in because they need to maintain that balance. Yeah. We don't. We let
you require an active weapon.
We
though.
Do require an active weapon, so there's no
wedge
just straight up
count,
wedges.
Yeah.
Nah.
But the active weapons, that is, I think, what makes a robot exciting. Because you see this new weird thing, you're like, what does that do? Like you see the hot dog robot and you're like, what does that do? And inevitably, what it does is it sucks.
Yeah.
If you look at a weapon and you don't know what it does or how it works, I guarantee it's going to suck.
And then you see the hot dog start spinning and then you're like, oh, okay, well, oh, this is not going to be good.
Well, it's going to be fun because you get the other part of it, which is the destruction. But if every single fight was just a couple of robots sort of like just bumping into each other, even if they had hot, you know, rotisserie hot dog. So there's like... It either has to
we
be
could make
like,
it go a lot faster. We can make it go so fast. The hot dogs just fly off. It's
I
like
told you should have.
Yeah. Like,
you should have directly wired it to a brushless motor. It should have been direct drive brushless. That way we can achieve 1,000 RPMs and launch these ding dongs across the arena.
What if we have like two wheels like spinning like a baseball launcher picture? And then like a magazine of hot dogs and it's like doo, 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 doo.
We could build that.
And it's like the salt. You know, it gets in the electronics and it corrodes everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great
idea.
It atomizes the hot dog.
We do allow projectiles up to 150 miles per hour.
Wait, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you said you like spectacles, though. Like going back to the flamethrower thing, and like everybody at Open Source was like, I liked, you know, all they could talk about is when the bot exploded in like a 6-foot fireball. That was so cool.
I love that.
Explosion. I wasn't even near the cage when it happened, and I felt it. And I was like, oh God, I hope the cage is okay. And
I hope other people are whatever.
Yeah, I hope, you're like, I hope the cage is okay.
Well, if the cage is okay, then the people are okay. Oh, okay.
No, they know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it basically found its pressure relief valve because those panels.
Yeah, the top,
I mean, honestly,
the top popped up. Yeah. And that's that good, caused, yeah. We got a lot of feedback on that.
From who?
Discord.
Oh.
You know, it's probably good that the top
I feel
lifts
like that
up.
Was gross. That's exactly what you want.
You don't
want
a pressure vessel
that
blows up.
If that top didn't pop up whatever inch and a half. Yeah.
It's coming out somewhere.
I feel like the Lexan would have blown out.
The top almost should be hinged just in case of that.
Like, maybe you should have some like really thick steel grate up top. Just with like,
since then,
just in case.
We ran explosion tests in our cages over here. We like set up a rig to blow up cans of butane.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It was
that's
pretty
fun.
Cool day. Yeah. And our cages like failed. They failed after that. So we had to modify
the walls or the lid?
The lid.
Like lifting off or breaking?
Yeah. Lifting off to a degree where it messed with all the electronics that are stored up there. So we lowered our fuel limit for the robots in that weight class. We like totally redesigned the cage. We added like
you should just
blast
do like
shields,
like
and
a burst
exhaust
disc.
Vent. So it's got a ton of vents on top to just
like flap over
and shoot the flame straight up.
Yeah.
So it's like not near the people. And since then, it's been going great.
I remember something at BattleBots. This is actually like I built this.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Stroboscope a long time ago, like one of the first videos I did.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew what it was because I used one at BattleBots. And there was a fight between, not a fight, but there was like an insurance problem where the insurance company, they wanted information about the bulletproof glass. Because it's like, you know, okay, let's imagine this. You make a panel of bulletproof glass and you want to test it. Do you stand behind it?
Only if.
Do you?
Yeah.
But like, why?
I don't know.
Because you could just shoot it and not stand behind it.
It's honestly really funny you say this because I almost sent this in Discord, but this man was testing some bulletproof armor.
Yeah.
So he made his wife hold it and he shot it. It was like some 1920s
footage. Yeah.
That should have been the other way around.
No, that's on par for the 1920s.
Yeah. It's like, my wife will hold this demonstration of this bulletproof something.
But which is insane. Right? Because you don't have to stand behind it.
Only,
but also
only,
it's like,
only Sigma males test their own body armor.
Only Sigma males will allow
sell
this
it, though,
behavior.
You stand behind it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Marketing. And so with BattleBots, it's like you have this an inch and a quarter bulletproof, you know, like a sandwich of like acrylic and Lexan. And I think it's like three things in there. And it has to, you know, energy absorption and how the bullet breaks. It's like you want like harder,
you
want to
break
softer,
the bullet and then you want to catch the bullet.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's like the insurance company, because you have to have insurance for all this stuff, was, you know, like asking some sort of questions. And then somehow something like a speed limit was thought up of like the projectiles have to be traveling under a speed limit. And assuming that at some point, if the speed of the projectile, no matter the mass of the projectile, is high enough, like weird things will happen and it can kind of like permeate through the
same
shield.
With the spinning weapons.
Yeah. So there was
an
RPM
requirement.
Do you have a speed
limit on those?
BattleBots does.
Okay.
Yeah. There was an RPM requirement, but then it's like, well, RPM doesn't define speed. So then we had to go through and
like do the angular
speed of every freaking robot. And there's a video, there's I think two videos, one of testing Minotaur. And so I'm like, you know, like 18 inches away from
with
it,
the
from
stroboscope.
Glass, with a stroboscope.
Oh,
because you
can't
put a tachometer on it.
Oh.
Because you can't go in there. And so you'd have to like either rig something
up.
Oh,
you have to do it from like outside the glass.
So I did it from outside the glass with the stroboscope. And I got really good at doing it quickly because you have to like, you know, you have to double the frequency and you go up, you know, you keep doubling
okay.
Until you get.
You can see like moving
mirrors.
Forwards or backwards. And
yeah.
Then you, like, dial.
So you lock it, but then you get harmonics, right? So that if you double the pulse frequency, then all of a sudden you'll see everything doubled.
Yeah.
And I think you have to go down twice because if you do, it's like if you have like two teeth, you'll see two teeth. For one of the harmonics. So you have to keep doubling and going up and down to make sure you're at the right speed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I did that for Minotaur. We did, I mean, we did it for all of them, but that was like a whole, you know, just nightmare. I know they've done some other tests too, where they had some teams go in there and had a, they put a panel in the arena, and they're just like, all right, hit it full speed.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah,
I know that they gave someone like a bracket slot for doing it, because they had gotten eliminated, and they were like, you know, we'll let you back in to this other bracket, but basically what we need you to do is just hit this panel at full speed.
Okay.
Like spun up completely.
Like it might damage the bot they're worried about. Is that why it was like a risky thing? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But they wanted to see what would happen.
Dude, I want to see what would happen.
I mean, it gives you a lot of confidence in the panels.
Okay.
The panels are strong. They've done some tests, and you're just like, okay, I believe in the panels.
Yeah.
How do you know? What do? You go to the data sheet and say, can this thing...
Like how they build bridges. They just have to keep driving heavier trucks over them until something bad happens and they rebuild the bridge.
Yeah, nothing bad's happened yet. But they're also $1,000 a panel, so...
Hmm. Can we talk about our fight?
Sure, yeah.
Because I want to know, how bad did you think we were? We were a 50-pound bot, and they gave us a 3-pound bot to fight against. That was our handicap.
5 pounds?
Yeah, the against the jet?
I think so, yeah.
That one's about 5 pounds.
And we weighed like 30 pounds.
I have no idea how much we weighed. We didn't even weigh it.
No.
Around that.
Probably. About at least 4 pounds of hot.
It might have been like 40 pounds. Your platform was 20, and then
it was really hard to carry
pounds
the robot for a
so
long time.
So tell us about your robot.
So those are technically my boss's robots, the jet ones.
It's like your boss's children, but they're kind of your children.
Yeah, I they came out of my womb.
But he's not here right now.
Yeah, check the PTZ.
So glad they have the green light on.
But it's like a RC jet turbine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real jet engine, but smaller. It idles at like 50,000 RPM, runs on like a diesel mix.
What's the goal of the weapon?
The thrust to blow them away, but that's a bad weapon because you go
then
backwards.
I was wondering about that last night. Like, I'm like, if you turn it up, do you just...
Yeah. I fought with the bigger version yesterday as well, and I'd never fought with that guy before. It's always boss man driving it.
Yeah.
And I was under them. I was in a position to like torch him. I sent it full throttle and just slammed back into the wall and died. Spectacular. Yeah. And I was like, hit me, fix it. And they hit the lipo and it...
The lipo went up?
Oh, yeah. And oh, my goodness. After a lipo fire in your robot, they put you in a sand bucket. They hit you with the CO2 extinguisher.
That's not good for a jet engine.
Like,
so
the jet engine,
how much is the jet engine? Because I'm pretty sure people are going to wonder, like, what model turbines are you guys generally using?
So for the 5-pounder, they're all Suiwin. And the 5-pounder was a 60, and then a 240B in the 30-pounder.
So I guess, what is the replacement cost for the single turbine and the small one?
That one's cheaper. I think it's like 1600 or something.
So and you can just replace the turbine inside of it?
No, you replace the whole engine because the engine's toast when you do this sort of favor.
We destroy the turbine, right?
That one's cooked.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And you cause it to flame out too, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool.
It looks pressed against the wall. And
see, that was actually one of the ways we were trying to think of like how to stop your bot was like, I was thinking a giant plunger and we have to sneak up behind you and cut off the airflow to the jet engine.
Dude, it does not take much to destroy that robot. It's like a 3-pound turbine and 3D
print.
There's
not even a lid on it.
There's no lid, no armor on the tank, fully exposed apple juice. It's just not good at all.
Spicy apple juice.
The 30-pounder is at least steel, but it has like 1/16-inch thick UHMW armor on top, and it fought a hammer robot that just perforated it. Yeah.
What's the most dangerous robot you guys have seen here, or was there something so bad that you didn't let it fight?
That's tough. Like, we've had robots spinning over 300 miles per hour, which is not ideal for Lexan integrity. We did have them smack it like they did, but I think the least safe robots, the robots themselves are not necessarily unsafe, it's the like inexperience of the builders. So I'd say that.
Yeah, that was one of the things I feel like with the safety inspection was it was almost like more of a psychological thing of analyzing the builder and sort of seeing how sleep deprived they are and how competent you think they are.
Name drop someone?
No.
I feel like I was doing a job interview.
William Osman.
Sort of look at them and like,
we're nervous about y'all, honestly.
I feel we're actually, we're a lot less bad than people think we are.
Yeah.
Well, we know the whole risk management thing.
Yeah. We push it as far as we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow my hands off.
Yeah. We almost blew my hands off too with fireworks. So yeah, that's another story. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily your face was there to save your hands.
That was really bad.
I've had some sketchy incidents like in my past because I was an inexperienced builder back in the day as well. So like I built a pneumatic hammer robot, and there's a lot of learning in your very first pneumatics robot.
Yeah, pneumatics are scary. Hydraulics are scary. There was a couple of things at BattleBots where I just would always, if there was anything I saw that seemed kind of weird, I'm just like, I'd go to, you know, Luke above me and I'd be like, hey, can you, I don't understand this, you know, and then they, you know, they'll do a good job trying to convince you that it's okay. And you're like, I don't know. I'm going to go get somebody else.
That's our job.
Yeah.
But dude, I built my very first hammer robot. It was a 30 pounder, 4-inch bore piston.
Ooh, nice.
And all wood because I had no weight for anything else for the frame. And just I was posting my progress, posted the buffer tank I made from a SodaStream bottle, and then the safety people started reaching out. You need a burst valve, you need this and that. And they were right to be scared. Yeah. And I was just ignorant. I didn't know what to be scared of.
Right.
Until we started testing it, and then it was obvious.
Like, oh yeah.
What was happening? The cylinder was exploding, or
I had a problem with the regulator letting through too much pressure.
Oh,
like it had an O-ring or a spring issue or something. So it would do nothing until like it hit a certain point where you're like dialing in the pressure, and then everything through. And hammer swings when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
See, that's what the physical lock is for.
Yeah, yeah. And you stay out of the plane.
Uh-huh.
But we definitely encourage all of our builders to safely test their robots so they get shamed online if they don't.
Right.
Shame is powerful.
We tested the hot dog rotisserie on my mouth before we sent it into the ring, so we knew it was safe.
So shame isn't that powerful.
Oh, yeah, the whole robot's drive chain was powered up, too. So one false move and you'd be in that robot.
The whole
I think the worst part of ours was like eye damage, like a skewer hitting you in the eye, or pretend like getting your hand like a little bit wedged in the gear motor of the hot dog. I mean that wouldn't be that bad,
because it would stop if one of the tines got like kinked off to the side. It wasn't powerful
like,
enough
to
pull
stitches,
it through,
but it's not gonna like rip your finger off. I honestly probably be most scared of the drivetrain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would for sure. Yeah, like
that would, if your finger got stuck in that,
the hot dogs would absorb a lot of the energy if it hit you in the shin. But if it reversed into your shin, that would hurt.
That would hurt, and I think if you got your finger in there, it could easily rip your finger off.
Yes.
Oh, for the main wheels.
The main wheels. Yeah,
definitely.
The most dangerous thing I ever, the one robot I saw at BattleBots that I still think about today that it didn't get to fight. It was called Helichopper.
Oh yeah, that one's infamous.
And
That's a pretty sick name.
That's a really I've never seen this robot. Describe
you
it.
You haven't seen
Helichopper.
It. Okay. It's truly cursed. And I really think that it with flying colors managed to do the get a rule named after you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent implementation. It was a full body spinner with retractable tips. So the tips could be extended.
Oh.
So what it would do is it would spin and it would slowly let out the weights, and it had enough cable to do like a 12-foot diameter.
That is so
imagine
good.
Like you know, like a medieval mace.
Uh-huh.
But and it's three just, like, of them extending. In a 12-foot diameter.
So like once it gets to the center of the ring, it's over.
Yeah.
It's what bad. Are they, like giant lead or steel weights or something?
One was, I think the retractable ones were like just like kind of hammers, like sort of Thor hammer things.
That's so cool.
And were they on like cables or chains?
It was like a Kevlar cable.
Okay.
It was like this, I think it was like this yellow fiber cable.
So that was definitely breaking the tip speed rule.
It was, I think that might have been what partially inspired the tip speed thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but we were testing it and it's actually really kind of sad.
What happens if one of them comes off, then the whole thing's going to be off balance and
the robot kills itself.
They had to put rags on them or something to prevent it from scratching.
So they had just painted the arena floor
with
the BattleBots logo. I think they painted the floor every single night.
Okay.
So like all the art on the floor, like that's the logo, had to get repainted because the robots during the day would mess it up. So they wanted them to put some sort of protective thing on the hammers so that they could spin it up, like testing it. and then B, testing to see like the tip speed, like how fast is it spinning, like how bad is this? Because like no one had ever dealt with anything like this before. You know, it's like you're looking at this. They came up with a novel design, and everyone's sitting there like, this is like, you know,
cursed, truly cursed.
But you don't just tell them no. It's like you got to figure out an answer why. So to protect the floor, they put rags on it.
Mm-hmm.
Start spinning, rags bind up in the rotation mechanism,
sucked right in,
which then like lights the motor. Something caught on fire, the lipos explode, the whole freaking thing burns to the ground.
No, wait, so what did they catch? The rags?
The rags,
something on the ground,
put on the hammers.
Okay,
so they put like taped, you know, towels to the hammers so that they
but they like stuck to the body or something.
Probably came off, got sucked into the working, stalled something out.
Yeah,
you know what's most amazing about this? Is when they built these robots, they tested them at home.
Yeah.
Not really. A lot. You'd be surprised. Oh, really? Like a lot of people don't test until they get to the arena.
We're still building it all the way to BattleBots.
I'd be firing that thing up my backyard. Like,
mowing the lawn. Mowing the lawn.
I think I remember there being a video of it being tested in a warehouse. And I think there were people standing on a table or something to get out of the
hell yeah. That's what I want to see.
That's exactly what we encourage people not to do.
Yeah.
For legal purposes, you have to state that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You tell people to get their own like protective Lexan box, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have,
I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
Build smaller so you can have a little tiny box.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of like what Alex was doing. I did a thing when he was testing his giant Beyblade. He just had a camera in one room. It was like a cinder block while he was in the other room.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to see it the first time you test it.
Yeah,
something like that.
Helichopper though.
Yeah,
so
they made them shorten it.
Different levels.
Yeah, I think they reduced the wingspan to like it was like 6 feet or something, and then it exploded, and they like fixed it. It really sucked because they like had this full ass. It looked so cool too. I think it was like red and like aluminum, and then it got burned, and then I think they fixed it, and then they didn't.
I've got to see some videos of that thing. That sounds that's great. Helichopper.
Yeah, sad. Sad. I mean, the robot probably still exists. You could probably find
it. Could do a YouTube video with it. Video mowing my lawn with the most dangerous battle bot.
Yeah.
Start up in your house.
I think they like the tip speed measurement though. I mean, it was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour. Like if it like fully got up to its max RPM and max diameter, it was like, I don't even remember. I think it might have been breaking the sound barrier. I don't remember. It was really bad. It was like really bad.
Yeah.
If it could do it.
Some of the little bots, even when they spin up, it's scary. It's like the whole thing's, you can hear this like vibration.
Did you see the screeching one that's like a hockey puck that just spins in place?
I think Cthulhu is one that you could hear that one spinning up, and that was scary.
That's one that's pushing around 300 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Which is
fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think it's great. You know, it's like, it's just, you know, I think the hardest part is judging the people who are building them to when you find something that is a little scary. It's like, do you know what you're doing? Like, do you actually know what you're doing? Maybe.
Partially, probably.
But then there's only one way to figure out how to know what you're doing.
Does everybody have all their fingers? Are there some people that like just don't have fingers? Build battle bots?
People have scars.
Oh, okay. I got a question. Yeah. What was the worst injury you've ever seen, like, or in the history of NHRL? I guess you don't have to answer that one.
We like,
or in BattleBots,
bang up our hands building arenas and stuff. But like, it's not that bad. The worst injuries come from overseas that I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's you're building stuff.
Has anyone ever died from a BattleBot? Like not
probably like not NHRL, over. Like, I think that it has happened in
the worst incident I've seen. Yeah. They survived.
Okay,
really?
Because I know people have died from model airplanes. It's happened.
Yeah,
they fly away and then you get impaled by one of them.
Yeah, I think my guess is like the likelihood of getting hurt probably comes from building the actual robot. Mm-hmm. Like if you're using a drill press. Like burr, metal shaving.
I have a cut on the back of my hand from that from yesterday.
I think that you're actually more likely to bleed from the tools used to build the robot than the robot itself.
It's a sharp burr on a piece of sheet metal.
Because the rules and the guidelines are pretty specific of like, you know, the robot can't be testing it out in the open. You have to put it in the box, you have to do this, and you have all the test box and everything. Like there's a lot of opportunities to do it the right way. And so you end up just hurting yourself before you actually fight your robot.
Yeah. I got those scars too.
Like, yeah. For sure. Everybody, every time you build something, I'm like, where did this come from?
And angle grinder on my knuckle.
With robots, like the closer
I grabbed a hot piece of metal after I welded it.
The closer you get to that deadline, the faster you're going, the faster careful you are.
Faster
the
injuries appear.
And like your hands just get mangled.
And then it gets worse as you go through the event too, because then people like, you know, aren't sleeping. They have to stay up all night to fix their robot. Like, I remember some of the BattleBot nights, I was up till, you know, 2 a.m. I remember there was one really bad night because I was only supposed to work the first week, and then they decided to extend me to the second week. And I go back to the hotel at like 3 a.m. and like my room hadn't been extended.
Have you ever got yourself to an airplane prop?
I've definitely hurt myself with an airplane prop. You remember that? The gravy plane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of y'all kicked the transmitter.
Whose fingers we chop up? Yours?
Mine.
And someone had the remote. Tom had the
remote? Yeah, Tom kicked the remote. That's
Tom
what it was.
Tom Stan kicked the remote.
But honestly, that's like one of the small things. Like, the airplane props are really nice because
it did like a nice like spiraled potato.
They're very clean, so it healed very fast.
Yeah.
It's not very jagged or mangled. So
those are thicker than drone props, though.
Not too much.
Yeah, so we had this airplane that Peter had built that had like a Ziploc bag that would unzip and then gravy would come out. So he would fly over this table that we put in the middle of the runway with our Thanksgiving dinner, and he'd like to dispense gravy.
Yeah, the C-section in the airplane.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a fire. It was like one of the fire airplanes, like the, what do they call those?
The dumpers.
The
ones with the belly scoops.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then we were holding it for some reason. Did we have to throw it to take off, or what was the deal?
I don't remember.
I think the gravy was somewhat of an ordeal. We had to like load it and hold it. So I think there was something where we had like people were holding the plane. Mm-hmm. Or Peter was holding the plane. The remote was on the ground, and then Tom Stan kicked the remote on accident. Because you know we're
trying to do all kinds of shit. Yeah, and it's dark too. That's what it was.
And it was getting dark, and then you know we're all trying to rush, and then the prop just like goes dunk dunk dunk, and I think it kind of like pushed your finger, like it almost sucked your finger forward a little bit. It's like every time
I slipped because the plane pulled itself forward because I rubber banded his wings on.
Because it was like perfect, like sink, like it was like four or six slices.
Yeah, where was?
Do you have a scar from it or no?
No, I don't. We just put a Band-Aid on it. That's all we did, right?
Yeah, we went to Rite Aid and covered it with
And we're fine. Yeah, and it's completely healed up. It was great.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know?
So, silly little airplane accidents.
That happens.
So, I never think we really asked, how did you come into your henchhood?
How did you start working for
your henchmanhood?
Yeah. So, I was working, I was like running a farmer's market in Baltimore. I'd been fighting robots for 20 years. I competed here in 21, and I was on the Discord. And
oh, really?
The founder
grew.
The founder grew. Posted a screenshot of a job description
of a banana
that still had like the little red underline from a spelling error. He posted that in the Discord.
What word was spelled wrong?
So did you correct his spelling?
No, absolutely
not. It
was
a salary.
This is an engineering place. You think engineers give a shit about spelling?
I sent an email. Like two paragraphs at 2 a.m. He responded the next morning, set up an interview, did another one. And then they said yes. And I moved up here. And like, honestly, after fighting all these years and competing and seeing what the sport was, I never imagined that it was a job opportunity. Like I was going to work in fighting robots.
Make any sense. None of this
Absolutely not. And so my parents would be like, you're still doing that and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a phase. Robot
now,
combat is my life.
Like, it is. Now it is.
So basically, this whole setup is your boss, your evil overlord that you're a minion to.
Henchman.
Henchman.
Minions lower.
How is villainhood?
Yeah. You just are basically doing all the sort of weird, interesting, intrusive thoughts that your boss has because your boss made a bunch of money and just sort of has ideas and can afford to fund them and do them. And one of them was NHRL.
Exactly. Yeah.
What other weird ideas has he had that you've had to help him with?
He's Jet got
engine
these
bot?
Ideas. Yeah. But the only ones I have time for are like the NHRL related ones. But he got into making a pair of giant googly eyes. He like really wanted to get the Guinness World Record for
the
largest.
Without the
did they actually Google?
Yeah, they Googled. They were on the side of this building. He got it.
Really?
Yeah.
So they had to come out and like verify it. Uh-huh. And, cool.
It's expensive.
That's how I feel about YouTube sometimes. Like you figured out how to like do things that are interesting to you and make it your job, because when somebody like has made it and they've got all the money they need for the rest of their life, they still do dumb shit like that.
Wait, did they actually like, were they, did they actively Google? Or did
you wait to,
I mean, they had the opportunity to Google, but the it's but, not like the building was moving.
Okay. You should have put them on a building in California.
You're right.
You could put like a little jet of air at the bottom, so it like blasts the eye up and it like
oh, zoom. Little jet. They were massive. And oh, like yeah. Plywood. Yeah.
Oh, okay. The pupils.
What's the
miss? Well, tell him that there's jet engines you could put on there.
I think he knows he bought all the jet engines.
Yeah.
So there's a guy named Palmer Luckey, the guy who founded Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
We visited.
He also makes fighting robots.
Does he? Oh, well. There's a part I just don't know they're fighting. It's like Andrels, like a weapon.
Like drones with C4 on them to intercept stuff that shouldn't be flying near you.
You know, kind of similar story where it was like, you know, just young guy, had a very successful company, you know, very successful. And then you've got a bunch of money and a bunch of ideas, and you just start doing the weirdest stuff that nobody would in their right mind ever do because it was too expensive. It took too much time, but like nothing matters anymore.
Exactly. If it honestly sometimes feels like money is not real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because it's not. Because it's like, it's a lot.
The only thing, like the only limit is time.
Yeah.
And that's a hard limit. Like we're always running into deadlines and stuff, but the money part. And like Austin's world is different than NHRL. Like NHRL is a real company and has employees and is more than just what Austin puts into it. But
yeah,
he's also got a lot of other stuff going on.
He's got a zillion companies. I don't understand why he works as hard as he does. He like created all the software for NHRL. Like from the graphics to our button displays and stuff to just the lighting systems and everything.
Cool.
Does he sleep? What does he give up? What does he get?
It's got to be sleep.
It's got to be sleep. You got rid of sleep.
Because his personal hygiene is good. That's and good. He has a sense of humor. And
he's probably funny because he never sleeps.
I mean, I could do it.
Start saying things.
Yeah. I don't know. Do people become funny or do they become violent?
I think
the other.
If I don't sleep, I definitely start saying things I would probably
getting a little loopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just went to the dollar store buying foam for Peter, and then Kevin found this.
It's a Twinkies iced latte. Twinkies flavor.
This is what's wrong with you,
instead
America.
Of cream, they added in the cream inside of Twinkies.
It's just oil.
That's gross.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. Oh, yeah. I think.
Yeah, let it rip.
It also says serve cold over ice in a martini glass.
Yeah. You know,
it tastes good.
I don't think you're supposed to shake that.
No, you are.
It says shake well.
It just blew all over the place.
That's how you know it works.
Oh, man. It smells super sweet.
I'm curious. I think that like the Twinkie sweetness can be a little bit like oily or fake.
You're going to waterfall it. I'll waterfall it.
It's also... Yeah, it does actually taste... It's not... It's creamy. It's not like... It's like oily creamy.
It tastes more like a protein shake. Like a gross protein vanilla shake.
I don't think there's any like Twinkies. Coffee. There's not Twinkies in there.
Yeah, that's a lie.
That,
that's not Twinkies.
It smells like a sort of vanilla.
It's just like a French vanilla.
It's got a Twinkie aftertaste. Really? Like the mouthfeel.
It just tastes like a weird vanilla drink.
From the oil.
That's not good.
It's not great.
You think it's like LaCroix Twinkie coffee?
I think the Twinkie's a stretch.
Like they put, it's homeopathic maybe Twinkie.
It kind of tastes like
they put one Twinkie in like 10,000 gallons.
You know the bread that's stuck to the paper of the Twinkie and you kind of like scrape it up? It's like sort of a waxy, papery, vanilla-y. Nah, you know, if you made me drink that and pointed a gun to my head and said, guess what flavor it is, I don't think I'd pick Twinkie.
Well, you're
no, I would say pull the
bullet.
Trigger, actually.
You're about to taste some lead.
The sweetness of lead.
William, he died of lead poisoning.
He died doing what he loved doing, dying. You going to finish it?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like caramely, too.
Yeah.
I'm getting some caramel. Kind of
caramel.
You degenerate.
It's probably why it was at the Dollar Tree.
The $1.25 tree.
Are you guys... updating your robot or what's the plan for the rest of your fights?
Okay. Sort of I figured we'd figure that out.
Can you define organic materials?
Hot dogs.
Oh, so we already broke that rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can define the liquids as wood. Ketchup and...
Wood's organic material.
Yeah, but we let it slide.
So they can't stop us.
What about bones?
We're unstoppable. I mean,
you can use bone.
What about dried bully sticks, bull penises, like the dust?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly... We're not really holding y'all to the rules.
Okay. Man, that ruins my dreams because I really wanted the taxidermy raccoon and I want to name the robot Roadkill.
Well, because our fight isn't we can't win anyway. So
I have a sort of a policy where if you bring it, we're probably not going to turn you away. Yeah. So we might have to help.
Yes, taxidermy raccoon. We need this.
It's like an exhibition class, you know, it's just for fun.
We're exhibitionists.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Saw those hot dogs.
If you do something really bad. Mm-hmm. And your goal isn't to win, I think that's okay.
Yeah. It's like
As long as it's not unsafe, you know?
Right.
It's got to be sporting.
I feel like there's sort of this engineering thing that happens, this like scope creep, and it pisses me off so much. I talk so much shit about it. Of like, you know, BattleBots does this, the Power Wheel Racing does this, which is why when we did, you know, the open source Power Wheels Not Drugs, what we called it, you had to have some stock things, like the wheel and drivetrain had to be stock. Mm-hmm. Or no, I don't think the motor could have been upgraded, but I think the wheels had to be stock. It's like you can put as much power as you want in the wheels. Good luck getting it to stick to the ground. People that do engineering tend to try to make things better and 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 better. And then their feedback is winning. And so they try to win. And it's like you can have so much fun if your goal isn't to win. Like you've opened this whole new realm of fun.
Speaking of that,
it's like creative mode.
It's like that creative
mode.
Cat robot. Like the one that just kind of walks around. It's like that one's hilarious. Like it's doing so well because I always see it on social media.
Uh-huh.
People are like, look at this thing. It's ridiculous.
It's just like a creative drivetrain. Like,
He still will win a fight or two every once in a while, but that's obviously not what he's going into it for.
Yeah, and
that's what does it's like a creative outlet for me, and fighting robots is my art.
Yeah.
And never have the goal of winning. My goals are like to build something that's never been built before.
Yeah.
Or to like put a finger on a butt themed robot or just to like dance around the arena, try and hit the ceiling with my own weapon, that sort of thing.
Build like a jumping robot that's like
side goals.
Boing.
Yeah. Because winning is just one thing. And I get bored just doing
too
one
many people
thing.
Have the goal to win. The competition's too high. Like you can basically win without winning, guaranteed by doing something weird.
And that's what's cool about what we do is because you don't have to win to be like featured or to become like our social media face or something like that. Right. You just have to be cool or unique in some way.
Yeah.
And that's nice because we don't have to be curated. Like we let everyone fight and the gems or whatever, the cream rises or whatever. Right, sometimes the cream is cat themed paw print robots.
Right.
Sometimes it's like fart themed flamethrower robots and
Tommy's butt robot.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it's hot dogs.
Sometimes it's hot dogs.
We know we are.
And it's cool. There's
ass
still
bots,
a place for like
bots.
The engineers.
No, it's Team Raw Dog.
I think ours is still too high effort for ass bots. There's got to be something right in the middle. Ass bots, I feel like, is like they barely hold themselves together. Kind of.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of a bummer to watch fight too. You want it to be cool, but
they're,
it's like,
yes.
Nothing.
There needs I think that's like I think what we did is probably right where it needs to be. Yes. Of like the drivetrain is indestructible and everything attached to it is garbage. But it does something. It does something. It has some goal, some purpose. It integrates well with your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's I think kind of what you know, because we were brainstorming. It's like it's not how do we win? It was like how do we make the fight entertaining the whole time?
Yeah.
And getting a one-hit KO is not interesting at all. Those are the worst fights.
Yeah, that's why the jet robots are just so bad, dude. Mm.
So we were trying to cook the hot dogs with a jet robot. That was like the thing.
Was that what you were trying to do? Because you slammed the shit out of me.
We couldn't turn our rotisserie on and we were angry.
Yeah, because we talked going in about cooking.
Yeah, but then you were over there and we were over here.
Our rotisserie is the only thing that makes our robot look like it does something.
Also,
that
no
was
active
us
weapon.
Controlling one wheel each.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was one
wheel. We were
not
driving. We were like, we had to like in tandem drive.
And then Michael was between us. He was supposed to control the spinner.
Like
to make sure that
Jaeger.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Three brain cells, one robot.
We connected our wieners together. all right. Anything you want to promote for NHRL?
We hold at least 7 competitions a year, right here in Connecticut. And in 2024, we're expanding throughout the states. So we're going to be holding competitions throughout the U.S. You can see us on NHRL.io or on our YouTube.
Is this coming up Thursday? So there'll be a fight tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Oh, so then anybody watching this the day it was posted could go and watch live on NHRL's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Oh, link in the description if you want to find the place to watch the last night of the year end.
The Havoc All-Stars.
The All-Stars. That's like the biggest competition you guys do, like the sort of.
Oh, no.
But I mean, this is like the invitation.
This is the very first time we've ever done something like this. Okay, but we had our championship in November, and that's probably our biggest one. The most money on the line, the most people in the audience.
Somebody said that, I was talking to somebody here that's fighting, they said these are like some of the best spots that you invited to compete.
Yeah, these are the ones that put on a good show.
Yeah, okay.
That are generally good people and just fun to watch.
Nice. All right, well, thanks to everybody on Patreon who supports us. Your names are flying across the screen. I know you got mad at us because apparently last week they weren't across the screen and everybody threatened to abandon their membership. I don't believe you.
Do you want to pick a name? Are we doing that?
Yeah.
I would love to eat one.
I don't know if that gets done anymore. I feel like we just say it and then nothing happens.
The editor's got about.
Oh yeah, no. No fancy.
No, not today.
All right, I'm gonna grab a name and then nothing happens. The name just keeps going because we didn't have time to edit
it. A battle bot's gonna come on the screen and just do nothing, not hit any
Nothing's
names.
Nothing's gonna happen. All right, well, thanks so much for having us.
Yo, thank you. It's a pleasure, and I'm honestly a Patreon of Safety Third.
Are you actually?
Really? Hey, you should ask your boss for a raise.
Yeah. Oh, did you ask your boss for a raise?
No, I haven't spoken with him in a while. His name is Austin McCord. You can tell
Austin,
him.
give your boy a raise. Give your favorite minion, yellow minion, a raise. No, it's got to be Gru and Minion. Gru, give this minion a raise. Something other than bananas.
And then you have to subscribe to the tithing tier on Patreon.
Okay.
If you get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's above Galaxy Brain or what?
I don't think we have it yet.
I don't think we have it yet, but we should. Because we made a joke last week.
Anyone that gets a raise has to go to
and give us 10% of their raise.
The next
and
year
somebody
could be
actually
Sigma
did. Somebody
you
did
could
it.
Be Sigma Brain. That could be the next tier.
Okay.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.